Well, if you'd like to turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9, and we'll open there. Now this verse says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. All around us is the witness of men. It comes to us all the time. You know, like I picked up this box of tea. It says organic lemon balm calms the nervous system. Isn't that miraculous? Supports digestion. Now, there's thousands of people who receive that witness. They'll buy it. People talk at us constantly, and we receive the witness of men. I say to you, I was at Hodad's a couple of weeks ago. It's awesome. Their burgers are just great. The whole ambience of the place, you know, the registration plates and cars all round, it's got real atmosphere. Well, that's my witness I'm giving you about Hodad's, and you can receive it. All around us, the words of men are coming at us, and usually we say yes, we take it in. But this verse says, the witness of God is greater. What God has done is his witness, and this is greater than what people say. His word is his witness. His Son came to witness the Father. Holy Spirit is the witness. It's a great thing to work in God's word. I think there's over 30 specific things that God's word says he is witness and testimony to. And this be true, and what men say pales. It really does, in significance compared to God. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll look a little bit at the witness of God's word, which is greater than man's word. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16. It says here, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. All things are become new. This is a very powerful truth, that we do not know man after the flesh. But the Passion Translation is really quite awesome here. And I'd like to read those same verses in this version here. So from now on, we refuse to evaluate people merely by their outward appearances. Isn't that fantastic? We refuse to evaluate people just from what they look like, what our mind tells us. People just make a judgment, a criticism. Then this version says, for that's how we once viewed the Anointed One, but no longer do we see him with limited human insight. That is all that a person in the flesh is when we view them in the flesh. We just have limited human insight. And even though the Anointed One, Christ, came in the flesh, we don't any longer see him like that. Now, if anyone is in Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Isn't that amazing? And we looked at another time at flesh versus the spirit and the total difference that there is to Alison in the flesh and Alison in the spirit. Honest, Alison in the spirit's a lot better than Alison viewed through limited human insight. But this version has an added note to where it says all that is related to the old order has vanished. What is this old order? This would include our old identity, our life of sin, the power of Satan, the religious works of trying to please God, our old relationship with the world, and our old mindsets. We are not reformed or simply refurbished. We are made completely new by our union in Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? See, Christianity truly is, it's a transformed life. It's not a behavior program where we try to be kind or we try to be better or we clean up ourselves in the flesh. It's an exchange. In Isaiah, it talks about the exchange of ashes for beauty. God says, I will give you beauty for ashes, the spirit of praise instead of mourning. But the ashes of the flesh man is replaced. It's an exchange for this new creation in Christ that we have. So those are really powerful verses. And I want us to consider, how does this affect our prayer life? How does this new creation reality and all that every Christian is affect how we pray for each other? And if you'd like to go to Romans 8 and verse 26. Now, these three verses, they kind of stand in a kind of little unit, as it were, talking about prayer in the Spirit that's very powerful. And in verse 26, in the King James Version, it says, the Spirit also helps our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And God that searcheth the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now it says there that this Holy Spirit helps our infirmity, our weakness, because we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. See, by the five senses, we might think we know what a person needs. But even physically, we understand this. Somebody can have a doctor's appointment, and they can go to the doctor and say, my foot is in great pain. And the doctor will do some tests and then say, well, actually, two of your vertebrae are out of sync, and that's what's causing the pain in your foot. And of course, you're surprised, because the foot's down there, your back is in the trunk of your body, it's so distant, you wouldn't have thought they were related. That's physically, we understand that. How much more spiritually and mentally? Some things we know what to pray for somebody, because God's word is absolute about some things. And we looked at, it's always God's will to heal. If you're physically, mentally, spiritually hurting, God wants you healed, whole, delivered. Now, in other things, we simply don't know. And in 2 Corinthians 5, we're not to use our limited human insight to try and assess what somebody's problem is and then use it in our prayer life. We're not to know people by their flesh. And Holy Spirit confirms this, says, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession. And I'd like to read the Passion Translation, Romans 8, verse 26. Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us. At times, we don't know how to pray, and we don't know the best things to ask for. But Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf.
Amen.
Isn't that fantastic?
Wow.
When we pray in the Spirit, and there is a connection with the speaking in tongues and our mind. We can't switch off our mind while we speak in tongues. It's that connection that we are viewing somebody in Christ, and where Holy Spirit is rising up to super intercede on our behalf. Isn't that fantastic? Super means above, super above, beyond, just like the manifestations confirmed, so awesomely huge, so beyond words to express. Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit is so, so powerful. And it's one of those things, the more we do it, the more we'll do it. The less we do it, we kind of stay with fleshly routines, the limited human insight that will not benefit us. It's Holy Spirit power that's awesome. The next verse, it gets better and better. Amazing. God knows fully our longings. The Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. So this prayer in the Spirit, when we're not looking at people according to their flesh, their human frailty, is allowing Holy Spirit to make intercession for us in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. Isn't that fantastic? It hugely bypasses us working out our own plans, doesn't it? Because that's just in the flesh. And see, it's only when we let Holy Spirit pray like that for us, then we can read and believe Romans 8:28, which actually I believe is the best in the King James Version. It opens with the word and. And is a little conjunction. It brings together that which comes after with that which comes before. So the Spirit's been making intercession in perfect harmony, for as we pray for each other, we see each other identified in Christ, new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. If old things show themselves, we just push them gently to the side. Because we don't want to give them life. The old man is dead. But if we start talking, reinforcing somebody according to their human weakness, it does not help them with their spiritual life. And all of us are part of the body of Christ. We want to feed into spiritually building each other up, super interceding for each other. That's the most loving thing. If I say I love you, I will pray in the Holy Spirit for you. That's the greatest extension of love for our brother and sister in Christ. And as a result of that, verse 28, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If you read that in the flesh, you just can't buy that. You know, we all know things have happened in our past. Things that were not our choice. We feel hurt. We feel bruised. Bruising happens internally. You see the purple on the skin. The bleeding's inside, though there's no scar. We've all been bruised, hurt along the way. How can God make that come to good? He is so super intelligent, brilliant, amazing. He made the universe. He made beautiful you. Only God. But we've got to believe him. That little picture over there says, with God, all things are possible. All things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, work together for good to them that love God. When we love God and give our best energy to loving him, serving him, speaking in tongues, super interceding, to build ourselves up, edifying ourselves, and praying for the brethren. We are one in Christ with our persecuted brethren in China, our persecuted brethren in Africa, all over the world. People put people in little boxes. God doesn't. He sees Christ. A Christian is a Christ-in person. In the first century church, they'd say, oh, are you a Christ-in person? Yes, I'm a Christ-in person. And they'd give each other a holy kiss. Christ-in, Christ-in. That's the identification. And just as we heard in the manifestations, all one, all over the world, the body of Christ. And we can energize and speak into each and every blessed brother and sister in Christ by speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit. And we can know all things work together for good. We don't know people after the flesh. We see them the way God sees them, which is Christ. And we can know that all things will work together for good. And that's why, because we're praying in the Spirit. And just to close out with verse 34, which is awesome. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ who died, yea, rather, that's risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus Christ prays for you, Daniel. Jesus Christ prays for you, Tom. Jesus Christ prays for you, Bob. And Dagmar. And Jeannie. And everybody in the conference.
Me too.
Leave the best to last.
Oh,
isn't that awesome? And it's like a holy sandwich, isn't it? Because verse 26 says, Holy Spirit super intercedes. Then all things work together for good. Then the other side of the promise is, Christ makes intercession for us. We can't fail. We simply can't fail. And this is the witness of God. The witness of men was bought into all our lives. Yeah, yeah, we buy it, we take it on board. The witness of God is greater, is true, is amen forever. That's why it's the best life in the world to be a Christian person with Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes.